This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. We have 56 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny today, 20% chance of showers this morning, and then a 50-50 chance of showers, maybe even thunderstorms in the afternoon. High today about 80 degrees, low tonight about 60, mostly cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the low 80s, although we will start out with a little fog tomorrow morning. No fog this morning, not so far anyway. Not bad weather. Big chance of rain coming up for your weekend. The concern about reduced hours at the newly renovated Chapel Hill Public Library was fueled this past weekend as volunteers witnessed hundreds of people showing up before the doors opened. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
I think the town has to step up first and say on an ongoing basis they're prepared to fund an expanded library. And that to me is the first step, and I don't think that decision's been made.
That's Karen Curtin, director of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library, an organization that raises money, sponsors programs, and fosters interests for the library. Weekend hours are currently 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 in the evening. A member of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library Board of Directors, Kathy Harris, was at the library for a meeting with Curtin and others on Saturday before business hours. She says many people didn't get the word that the library is working on a limited schedule.
I bet there were 400 people out there. There were just constant cars coming around trying to put their books they wanted to return into those boxes outside. The boxes were absolutely full and people were trying to jam them in.
She says since no staff members were at the library yet, there was no one available to empty the bin.
So I put up a little makeshift sign that said, with an arrow, deposit over there on the wall of the library.
On April 10th, the town of Chapel Hill outlined major projected budget challenges for the 2013-2014 fiscal year in its preliminary budget report. That list includes the operating budget for the library, as well as increased costs of solid waste disposal, cost of implementation of the pay and class plan, funding annual street paving costs, funding of retiree health liability, reduction in state funding for transit, and restoring PAYGO CIP to $1 million, all projects which different groups of people have different ties to, and all things that at least someone is greatly invested in, if only emotionally. In order to get the library up to 68 hours from the reduced 54 it's currently running on, an additional $350,000 in operating costs is needed. That would complete the $700,000 increase that was projected for the 35,000 square feet of space added in the reconstruction. The preliminary report shows that the budget shortfall for the town in the upcoming fiscal year is somewhere between $1 and $2 million. Of that list of major budget challenges, Curtin says she believes the library should be the top priority.
All of these libraries that are being expanded are really being expanded to add community space. So they've become community gathering places. They're not just reading or data or computers. It's a place for people to gather with tons of meeting rooms, which is true with our new library. And there were other people there talking about expanded libraries and saying even though they have tons more space, they have waiting lists to use them.
She says it also serves homeless people who are trying to find jobs and can do so through the library's internet. The Interfaith Council workers often use the library's computers, and there are, of course, books and other services. In fact, the Chapel Hill Public Library has the largest per capita circulation in the state of North Carolina. The concern is not the amount of staff the library has for the hours it's open. Interim Director Mark Bayless says once the doors were open this weekend, the crowds were nothing that couldn't be handled.
There were lines at times, but then there were times where it was relatively moderate in terms of the wait time to speak to a staff member to check materials out.
But Bayless says Saturday did see the biggest surge since the reopen.
By then we'd gotten the word out, and by the time we opened our doors on Saturday afternoon, there was a good crowd in front of the library waiting for us to open and remained very active throughout the day.
The main concentration of the extra funds would be the addition of staff members to cover the space that's more than double the previous structure. The hires would add up to approximately 5 full-time equivalents, though not simply 5 people. Bayless says it would be a variety of additions to existing staff hours, temporary employees, and at least 2 new positions, one of which wasn't full-time. He says all ages made it out to the library over the weekend, and Curtin and Harris say a couple people that had to be turned away really tugged on their heartstrings.
We were trying to assist these people who were disappointed, and some of the children were crying because they couldn't come in.
There was a dad with his daughter, and he said, you know, I promised her this morning that if she would go shopping, we'd come to the library afterwards. So he gets there and he can't get in.
Harris says she told multiple people that it's important to know just how the process works.
We had to tell people not to be angry at the library because this public library is a municipal library. It has nothing to do with the budget. The town council takes care of the budget.
Town manager Roger Stansel releases his first budget outline on May 13th. A public hearing will then be held May 20th, at which people can give input on how they feel about the proposed budget. Harris says until then, citizens can still give input to town officials.
We were telling people to write to your town council members and tell them how frustrated you were or whatever your feelings are. The second way is by calling the mayor's assistant, and you tell that person, the citizen, will tell that person your thoughts. And she or he will forward that information to the mayor and the council members.
For contact information for the town of Chapel Hill, its mayor and council, as well as information about the upcoming fiscal year and budget discussions, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The rededication ceremony for the library begins at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Carborough Board of Aldermen wrestled last night with how the town will compensate its employees with the rising cost of living in mind. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski has details.
The Carborough Board of Aldermen discussed the town's options for changing the reference point used to determine a living wage for town employees. Here's Alderman Damon Siles.
There are some consequences that we've heard about that are important. But at some point, whether we do a comprehensive plan or a market studies for a specific part of the labor market or whatever we do with further analysis, we're going to have to make some value judgments about which things are more important.
At a meeting in May of last year, the alderman instructed town staff to change the way the town refers to its wage baseline, replacing the federal poverty level to a more localized housing wage. The housing wage ties a person's income to their ability to afford rental property at the Housing and Urban Development's estimated fair market rent, or FMR. The wage is then adjusted so that a household spends no more than 30% of their income on housing. A fair market rent for two bedrooms in Orange County is $864, which equates to an annual household income of just over $34,000. Those numbers for the Durham-Chapel Hill Metropolitan Statistical Area, or MSA, are $779 and just over $31,000, respectively. If Carborough chose to set the housing wage at the Orange County figure, 17 town employees would be impacted, costing the town upwards of $95, while implementing the MSA figure could impact 15 employees at a cost of just over $40,000. But assistant to the town manager, Matt Iford, says it isn't possible to simplify the pay grades without another corresponding increase somewhere along the line.
That moves all the pay grades, but doesn't move the employees within the pay grade. So in effect, it slams everybody to the bottom. Right now, we have 42 employees that make the minimum salary for their pay grade. If you move the pay grades based on the housing wage, but you don't move the employees, you could have up to 128 of our employees that make the minimum salary for their pay grade.
Among them was a residency requirement, since creating a housing allowance could be considered gifts from the town. But Alderman Michelle Johnson says she doesn't think that is a good idea.
I have a real issue with making folks who already are making a lot less than people at the top of the organization, requiring them to live in Carborough. Of course, I want there to be affordability in Carborough and employees to live in Carborough, but requiring that when we only require that of three employees now feels pretty problematic.
Really?
The town's current budget has 156.5 employees on the payroll, and just one requires them to live within the town limits. Alderman Jacqueline Gist says she doesn't like an across-the-board pay increase either, since it doesn't benefit all employees equally.
I'm not that worried about people at the upper end. Sorry, people. But 5% for people at the higher end is a hell of a lot more money than 5% for somebody at the lower end.
While the board did discuss other future options, Alderman Siles says he feels the board's immediate concern should be with the employees whose salaries are currently below the housing wage.
I feel like the more important priority is to pay these 15 employees a higher wage. And if we want to do these other things as well, like look at restructuring some of the classification plan or whatever, I think that's fine. But I want us to kind of keep our eyes on what we're talking about here.
Should the town choose to conduct a study on the matter, it could take a few months before any major or structural suggestions are brought to the board. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Saying goodbye to a real hero. That story coming up next on WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Baseball Program. Don't miss the fireworks coming up on Saturday night when Carolina takes on Duke at Boschmer Stadium. In fact, they have a three-game homestand this weekend. And Sunday, it is WCHL Family Day. You can get in for only $3. Go to chapelboro.com for all the details on that. And for this week's game schedule, anything about the Tar Heel baseball team, you can visit goheels.com. 56 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this morning. We'll tell you more about the weather coming up. But right now, a look at traffic. Traffic, a little bit of fog out there in some spots. Very select spots out there this morning. But otherwise, no problems at all to report. And things moving very smoothly. If you spot anything or experience any kind of delays that we're not talking about, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. But right now, everything is copacetic. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, as I was mentioning, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this morning, 50-50 chance of rain in the afternoon. High today about 80. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain, and the low around 60. Tomorrow, we're looking at some patchy fog in the morning, partly sunny, high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with the lows in the low 60s. And on Friday, we're looking at showers and thunder showers and high about 80 degrees. Chance of rain 60% on Friday, 70% Friday night, 70% on Saturday, and then finally clearing up by Saturday night. So really some clouds on the way and some rain in our immediate future.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 7:19, 19 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. Robert F. Patton, a World War II veteran and longtime Chapel Hill resident, passed away on April 11th. He was 91 years old. Patton was the recipient of WCHL's Village Pride Award for being a hometown hero. Here's a longtime friend and fellow veteran, Lee Hevlin.
He was a good guy, stayed busy, and it was remarkable. He stayed very busy in the community and working for veterans.
Hevlin is the American Legion Chapel Hill Post Commander. He remembers Robert Patton as a champion for his fellow vets.
And find ways to just to make sure people didn't forget that there are veterans in our town that are quietly working as civilians now and how much that they did before. And
Patton worked with Holocaust survivors, in particular survivors of the Nazi death camp in Austria. He was awarded the Legion of Honor by the French government in recognition of his service during World War II.
He speaks for the Holocaust survivors. He's part of the Speakers Bureau for the Holocaust Bureau here in Chapel Hill and Durham. And I've gotten a couple emails from people that remember him speaking and his dedication to helping others and how much he missed.
Bob Patton served in the United States Army in the 65th Infantry Division, 3rd U.S. Army. And as Hevlin just said, he was really a nice guy. If you like more information about Patton's memorial service, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Crop Hunger Walk is happening on Sunday to raise money with the goal of ending hunger worldwide. But there's a way you can help even before lacing up your walking shoes. You don't even have to do that. The movie The Three Amigos is playing at 7 o'clock tonight at the Varsity Theater downtown on Franklin Street. Tickets are free, but they will accept donations for Crop Walk. Here is 9-year-old Max Nelson. He's a Crop Hunger Walk supporter.
I think it's very helpful in giving people who might not be able to afford clean water and food.
Max Nelson's dad, Aaron Nelson, rented out the Varsity Theater to raise money for the Crop Hunger Walk and also to celebrate Max's birthday. And here's Aaron.
You just have to raise a little bit of money and you come on out and walk and your friends and family can help you out. We hope to raise over $50,000.
Aaron Nelson is, of course, president and CEO of the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. He says there are several ways to register for the walk.
You simply go to crophungerwalk.org/ChapelHillNC, or you can call the IFC, or you can send an email. Josie Hart is the staff coordinator, and she's done a great job working with the churches and community organizations throughout the community.
Founded in 1946, the organization behind the walk, the Church World Service, is a cooperative ministry of 37 Christian communions working together to eradicate hunger and poverty and to promote peace and justice among the world's most vulnerable people. The Crop Hunger Walk kicks off in Carrboro Town Commons at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. It's about 4 miles with a shorter option as well. If you'd like more information, you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Reggie Bullock's basketball career in a Tar Heel uniform has come to an end. UNC Athletics released a statement yesterday officially announcing that this season's third leading scorer has decided to enter the 2013 NBA draft. Bullock tallied 13.9 points a game in the 2012-2013 season, in which Carolina finished third in the regular season, runner-up in the ACC tournament, and was knocked out of the NCAA tournament by Kansas. Bullock was also looked to as an emotional leader in a year that Carolina was tagged as a young team without a known leader heading into the season. He and Dexter Strickland were the only players with more than 2 years playing experience. Bullock was projected to be chosen late in the first round or maybe early in the second in some mock drafts. At the time of the announcement, multiple mock drafts didn't even have Bullock listed. And yesterday morning, before the official announcement was made, Bullock's Twitter account, at DaBully35, was being lit up from teammates and members of the Carolina community wishing him luck in the future. Sophomore P.J. Hairston announced last Friday he will stay at Carolina for his junior year. To read the official announcement made by UNC Athletics about Reggie Bullock, you can go to our website, chapelboro.com. Archansky has a few words to say about Bullock's decision coming up on today's Sports Notebook. Sophomore forward James Michael McAdoo will return to UNC for his junior season in 2013-2014. McAdoo earned second-team All-Atlantic Coast Conference honors after leading the Heels in rebounding and steals and finishing second in scoring in past season. The Norfolk Virginia native averaged 14.4 points a game, 7.3 rebounds. He also made 54 steals, leading Carolina to a 25-11 record in the third round of the NCAA tournament. In release, McAdoo says, and I quote here, "I love the school and my teammates, and I love being a North Carolina basketball player. There will certainly be a time when I want to play in the NBA, but right now I truly enjoy college life, and I want to continue doing that for another season." McAdoo scored in double figures a team-high 32 times, posted 9 double-doubles, and scored 20 or more points 5 times. He was 4th in the ACC in steals, 9th in rebounding, 12th in scoring. He's averaged 10.1 points a game at 5.5 rebounds a game in his 74-game career as a Tar Heel. And Roy Williams was happy, as you might imagine. He said, "I'm ecstatic about having the opportunity to coach James Michael for another season. He's an incredible young man who did some really nice things this year. He's going to be an even better player in the future. Coaching young people like James Michael McAdoo is what makes me enjoy coaching so much." Well, Reggie Bullock led UNC in three-point percentage. He was second in rebounding, third in scoring and assist, and was named the first-ever recipient of the Dean Smith Most Valuable Player Award at Carolina's Men's Basketball Awards ceremony held last night. Bullock also was named a permanent team captain along with senior guard Dexter Strickland and sophomore forward James Michael McAdoo. They each received the John Lotz Team Captain Award. Freshman point guard Marcus Page received the Athletic Director's Burgess McSwain Scholar Athlete of the Year Award and the George Lynch Award as the team's best defensive player. Sophomore forward Jackson Simmons was presented a new award, the Marvin Williams Carolina Way Award, given to the player who best exemplifies playing hard, being unselfish, and thinking of the team first. Sophomore guard P.J. Hairston got the Danny Green Award, given to the team's most improved player. Strickland and Frank Tanner received the Dick Bedore Senior Awards. A new award, the Bill Guthridge Award, was presented to Angie Bidding, Managing Director of the Dean Smith Center. It's given to the person who demonstrates great loyalty to the program behind the scenes. To see more awards from the Men's Basketball Awards ceremony last night, visit our website at chapelboro.com. And a quick note about Carolina baseball. The number one ranked UNC baseball team extended its winning streak to double digits for the second time last night with a 5-1 win against number 26, Coastal Carolina. Tar Heels cast in on 5 walks, a shot to clears gave up, as UNC's usually hot bats were quiet last night. For the most part, Carolina was 4-for-25 in its 5-run outing. After being named ACC Player of the Week, junior Colin Moran received the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association Hitter of the Week honor for his efforts last week. But with a poor hitting last night, two of the conference's longest hitting streaks were snapped. Junior Brian Holberton was leading with 12. Moran had 7. Both players went without a hit against Coastal. Senior Chris Munnelly threw 6 2/3 innings and gave up 5 hits, 1 run, and 2 walks, but struck out 6. With the win, North Carolina improved to 35-2 on the year. Next up on the schedule, Tar Heels host Elon in a rematch from last week. Carolina took the road win against Elon by a score of 15-3. 7:26, 26 minutes after 7 o'clock, KWCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Hard Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I hope Reggie Bullock knows something that we don't. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. I felt sure P.J. Hairston was coming back because he has a lot more work to do with his game, like developing a better handle and learning to get his own shot. Those are two of the reasons I figured Reggie Bullock would also be back for his senior season, when he might have been an ACC Player of the Year candidate if his improvement continued as it did as a junior. I hope whoever is advising Bullock knows, really knows, a lot more than we do. Because from where I sit, Bullock is trading in his senior year at UNC for a chance that he will be drafted in the first round, and if not, the chance he will be able to make an NBA roster somewhere. Because nothing is guaranteed beyond the first round, as there are journeyman careers that are bound to prove it. At Carolina, the players are supposed to be smart enough to know the difference. Reading Roy Williams' comment in the official release, it seems clear this was not old Roy's choice. Yes, Bullock played first-team All-ACC ball over the last month of the season, and yes, he comes from a poor family in Kinston that could use the financial help. But Bullock had a better chance to guarantee that by waiting a year. This is so un-Carolina. Dean Smith pushed early first-round draft choices out because he knew they were gambling with a lifetime of financial security already achieved, unless they returned to school and got seriously injured. The only players who I remember bucking that system were Jeff McGinnis in 1996, and Joseph Forte in 2001. McGinnis went in the second round and after beating around Europe in the CBA for a few years, wound up with a decent NBA career. Forte was the last pick in the first round, so he got his money, but he never panned out as a pro. Bullock is a good college player who had a chance to be great, which at Carolina is synonymous with becoming a first-round draft choice. He surely can shoot, but needs to develop the NBA range for three-pointers. And like Hairston, he can't really score off the dribble. Only truly great shooters like Ray Allen and Steve Novak survive as pros otherwise, and Reggie Bullock doesn't go out with that kind of game. Here is hoping he gets his chance to develop it in the NBA. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hello, this is David Bacon.
And this is Jenny Wares. We work together as brokers at Franklin Street Realty. David, tell us what brought you to Franklin Street.
Well, after operating Pie Wagon Restaurant for 20-plus years, I knew that I wanted to work in a locally owned brokerage firm with experienced folks that are committed to providing high-quality support and guidance throughout the process. And besides, you work there. How about you, Jenny?
With a background in interior design and a strong nesting instinct, I really enjoy helping people find just the right house. I am lucky to work with a great group of experienced brokers at Franklin Street Realty, and I also think you and I make a winning team.
So, give us a call at Franklin Street Realty, 919-929-7174.
We are connected to the community and ready to help you begin your move. Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Carrboro Family Medicine, serving Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and surrounding communities for 30 years. If you like the idea of a team whose goal is your good health, join the Carrboro Family Medicine. Find them on the web at CarboroFamilyMedicine.net. It is 56 degrees, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this morning, then a 50-50 chance of rain later on in the day, maybe even a thunderstorm. High temperature today, about 80 degrees.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Barrett,
What officials know about the bombs that exploded near the finish line at Monday's Boston Marathon.
The pressure cooker bomb is an old favorite in the Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan.
And says CBS News senior correspondent John Miller.
It's a good container. It's an easy bomb to make.
And the design has been around for a while.
I can tell you I was at a pressure cooker bomb scene in the Port Authority bus terminal in New York in the 70s. I've seen them used by domestic militia groups.
John Miller on CBS This Morning says on the most credible jihadist blogs.
They're saying, we think this was us. We want it to be us. This could be the maturation of ideology where we've put that call out for the lone wolves to step up, and they've done it.
In Boston, since the bombings that killed three and wounded 170 others.
I don't think people in Boston are naive, but the lack of any person claiming responsibility, there's kind of like an aimlessness to this.
A vigil held last night for the victims on Boston Common. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. 58 degrees, warming up just a little bit. Partly sunny, slight chance of showers this morning, then a bigger chance of rain in the afternoon, about 50-50. Our high this afternoon, around 80 degrees, so kind of mild temperatures. Warm, but not too hot. And then tomorrow, it'll be a little warmer with a high in the low 80s. Big chance of thunderstorms coming later on in the week. A concern about reduced hours at the newly renovated Chapel Hill Public Library was fuel this past weekend as volunteers witnessed hundreds of people showing up before the doors opened. A lot of people excited about the reopening of the library. Some people not so excited about the limited hours. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
I think the town has to step up first and say on an ongoing basis they're prepared to fund an expanded library. And that, to me, is the first step, and I don't think that decision's been made.
That's Karen Curtin, director of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library, an organization that raises money, sponsors programs, and fosters interests for the library. Weekend hours are currently 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 in the evening. A member of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library Board of Directors, Kathy Harris, was at the library for a meeting with Curtin and others on Saturday before business hours. She says many people didn't get the word that the library is working on a limited schedule.
I bet there were 400 people out there. There were just constant cars coming around trying to put their books they wanted to return into those boxes outside. The boxes were absolutely full, and people were trying to jam them in.
She says since no staff members were at the library yet, there was no one available to empty the bin.
So I put up a little makeshift sign that said, with an arrow, deposit over there on the wall of the library.
On April 10th, the town of Chapel Hill outlined major projected budget challenges for the 2013-2014 fiscal year in its preliminary budget report. That list includes the operating budget for the library, as well as increased costs of solid waste disposal, cost of implementation of the pay and class plan, funding annual street paving costs, funding of retiree health liability, reduction in state funding for transit, and restoring PAYGO CIP to $1 million, all projects which different groups of people have different ties to, and all things that at least someone is greatly invested in, if only emotionally. In order to get the library up to 68 hours from the reduced 54 it's currently running on, an additional $350,000 in operating costs is needed. That would complete the $700,000 increase that was projected for the 35,000 square feet of space added in the reconstruction. The preliminary report shows that the budget shortfall for the town in the upcoming fiscal year is somewhere between $1 and $2 million. Of that list of major budget challenges, Curtin says she believes the library should be the top priority.
All of these libraries that are being expanded are really being expanded to add community space. So they've become community gathering places. They're not just reading or data or computers. It's a place for people to gather with tons of meeting rooms, which is true with our new library. And there were other people there talking about expanded libraries and saying even though they have tons more space, they have waiting lists to use them.
She says it also serves homeless people who are trying to find jobs and can do so through the library's internet. The interfaith council workers often use the library's computers, And there are, of course, books and other services. In fact, the Chapel Hill Public Library has the largest per capita circulation in the state of North Carolina. The concern is not the amount of staff the library has for the hours it's open. Interim Director Mark Bayless says once the doors were open this weekend, the crowds were nothing that couldn't be handled.
There were lines at times, but then there were times where it was relatively moderate in terms of the wait time to speak to a staff member to check materials out.
But Bayless says Saturday did see the biggest surge since the reopen.
By then we'd gotten the word out, and by the time we opened our doors on Saturday afternoon, there was a good crowd in front of the library waiting for us to open, and remained very active throughout the day.
The main concentration of the extra funds would be the addition of staff members to cover the space that's more than double the previous structure. The hires would add up to approximately 5 full-time equivalents, though not simply 5 people. Bayless says it would be a variety of additions to existing staff hours, temporary employees, and at least 2 new positions, one of which wasn't full-time. He says all ages made it out to the library over the weekend, and Curtin and Harris say a couple people that had to be turned away really tugged on their heartstrings.
We were trying to assist these people who were disappointed, and some of the children were crying because they couldn't come in.
There was a dad with his daughter, and he said, you know, I promised her this morning that if she would go shopping, we'd come to the library afterwards. So he gets there and he can't get in.
Harris says she told multiple people that it's important to know just how the process works.
We had to tell people not to be angry at the library because this public library is a municipal library. It has nothing to do with the budget. The town council takes care of the budget.
Town manager Roger Stansel releases his first budget outline on May 13th. A public hearing will then be held May 20th, at which people can give input on how they feel about the proposed budget. Harris says until then, citizens can still give input to town officials.
We were telling people to write to your town council members and tell them how frustrated you were or whatever your feelings are. The second way is by calling the mayor's assistant, and you tell that person, the citizens will tell that person your thoughts. And she or he will forward that information to the mayor and the council members.
For contact information for the town of Chapel Hill, its mayor and council, as well as information about the upcoming fiscal year and budget discussions, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The rededication ceremony for the library begins at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Certainly a lot of enthusiasm with the reopening of the newly expanded and renovated Chapel Hill Public Library. Certainly dampened for many who showed up and could not get in. You may have seen the barcode paintings along Franklin Street. It's part of the Windows on Franklin Street, an art initiative here in Chapel Hill. The local artist known as Parasol B is behind the barcodes. She's integrating art with smartphones and so much more. WCHL's Rachel Nash will have the full story coming up at the top of the next hour on WCHL. You can also see it on our website at chapelboro.com. After nearly 3 months of uncertainty, the source of January's Chapel Hill fire that claimed 9 apartments near downtown has been released. According to the Chapel Hill News, after local officials ruled the incident at the University Garden Apartments on Pritchard Avenue Extension undetermined, fire insurance investigators took the air conditioner and baseboard heater out of the apartment near where the fire started. The report determined that a combustible object was on the heater, which started the fire, then went up the wall of apartment A14 and into the attic. Upon receiving the report, Chapel Hill Deputy Fire Marshal John Parker said the heater was installed in 1965. It did not meet modern safety standards. The incident has been ruled accidental. News around town this morning in downtown Chapel Hill. Construction started on Friday. They put in a new sidewalk on the east side of Henderson Street between Franklin and Rosemary. Traffic won't be affected. Businesses will remain open, but pedestrian access will be unavailable during the construction time. This $57,000 project will run about 3 weeks. Town officials say it will be done in time for UNC's commencement on May 12th. Another national honor for our local community, livability.com. has identified Chapel Hill as one of the top 10 foodie cities in America. The website released its annual list earlier this month, making an effort to focus on smaller towns and avoid the usual suspects like New York, Chicago, and New Orleans. Chapel Hill came in 7th overall and 3rd among southern cities. Decatur, Georgia topped the list. For the complete ranking of Livability's top 10 foodie cities, visit the News Around Town link on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. 7:41 at WCHL, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, Rand Northam, good job on that library story, Rand.
Thank you very much.
I know that took quite a bit of time talking to all those folks and putting it all together. But a lot of people upset about showing up and not being able to get in.
True, and you know, there's multiple sides to this story, and sure. I think that's certainly the thing to focus on is that you know the town has a lot of decisions to make, and can't make them all at the same time. But they did make the decision of building this new library, and that's what a lot of people are concerned about is that they decided to build the library, and now they can't necessarily fund it yet, or they have to make that decision to fund it or not as far as the extra operating budget. So that $350,000 is really what's in play right now, and you know, once this fiscal year budget comes up for the 2013-2014, you know, that's when the big discussion is going to take place for sure.
Certainly, it would seem that this is only a temporary situation. So
it is.
We'll just have to wait for a little while.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people disappointed, but especially those children, it kind of tugged at my heartstrings. When the woman was saying that this guy showed up with his daughter. He'd promised her to go to the library, and they couldn't get in.
The important thing behind this whole story is, you know, even though that these were, you know, library supporters, is regardless of what you feel, you know, you support in this story, to talk to your town officials and to let them know what you feel. You know, if it's the library that you support, call, email the town officials and let them know that that's where you want the money to go. If it's, you know, the solid waste management, if it's another project on that list that was mentioned, to tell the town officials, tell the mayor, the town council that that's what you support, and you know, because they are there to make the decisions for the town members, the citizens.
And contrary to what some people might think, Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, all the town council members really do want to hear from you.
They do.
They want to know how you feel about things. So,
exactly.
So get in touch with them.
It's
easy. Go to the town website and you can find contact information for all of them.
That is why they are there.
Yep, exactly. 7:43, that's why we elected him, right?
That's right.
7:43, 17 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. What's happening today at chapelborough.com?
Well, Dr. Charlie Tuggle has put a column up on our website this morning.
Dr. T!
That's right. He's talking about, let me see if I can get this right, Las Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that didn't sound too bad, actually. I still imagine that I did it wrong. It's playing at the Varsity Theater tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Of course, Dr. Tuggle is a UNC professor in the J School, the School of Communication. So you'll want to check that column out on our website, chapelborough.com. Also, Dr. Tina LePage has a new column up, the Parenting Page column, about her daughter's latest adventures. You'll want to check that out as well. And in our lifestyle section, Brendan Zulik, has a piece on the latest epic TV miniseries, Game of Thrones. A lot of people talking about Game of Thrones and a lot of people really liking that show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it at all, but I hear people talking about it all the time.
People loving it. So you'll want to check that out. You can always visit our website for our calendar page, let you know about all that's going on in and around Chapelborough. Also, we've got our Scene Around Town galleries, sports and news. We've got our lifestyle section, as mentioned. Vote for the shortlist as well. That's in our lifestyle section, so you can vote on that. And much more available on our website, chapelborough.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
And if you go to the website, you can find an 8x10 color photo of Rand Northam, suitable for framing. Yeah. Thank you.
Poor people.
7:44, 16 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Maria Palmer has an excellent commentary, advice for the new chancellor. Hey. That is coming up next.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
Hi, I'm Terry Sturdivant from Sturdivant's Tire and Auto, and I would personally like to thank you for helping us support our 5 local high school baseball programs. From now until the end of April, we'll be giving a portion of the profits for every new tire sold to the teams at Chapel Hill, East Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Cedar Ridge, and Northwood. thank you again for your business and support of Sturdivant's Tire and Auto, located just a few miles west of Carrboro on Highway 54. And I hope to see you at one of our high school baseball parks this spring.
Terra Nova Global Properties is locally owned. We're on Main Street in Carrboro, affectionately known as the Paris of the Piedmont. The global in our name means we are trained and qualified to find you a pied-à-terre in Paris, the real one. I'm Mariana Fiorentino, owner and broker. Around the corner or around the globe, we are focused on international buyers moving here or those of you chasing your dream to live abroad.
Terra Nova Global Properties, focused on you. Online at TerraNovaGlobal.com.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
All right, thank you, Coach. We're all excited about the upcoming football season. 7:47, 13 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL.
The Commentators is presented by Sunrise Dental, offering a wide variety of services, including their advanced methods of sedation dentistry. Choose Sunrise Dental online at visitsunrise.com. And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Maria Palmer. We have so much work to do. It is easy for us privileged Chapel Hillians to think that our actions are always consistent with the highest ethical standards. We don't break the law, we recycle, we donate money to great causes. I am sure many of us also pray for justice and for the poor on a regular basis. But justice is not like the climate, something we can call an act of God. Justice or injustice is the result of our collective decisions. When we fail to protect women and girls from sexual violence, when one-third of our county's residents are low-income and thousands are uninsured, when one in five children in Orange County are living in poverty, I think we may be failing to do justice. As we welcome Chancellor Carol Folt, I take hope. After all, UNC President Tom Ross has said she meets the criteria of unwavering integrity and someone who will always stand for what is right. What is right, Dr. Folt, is leading UNC and the community in doing justice. What is right is paying UNC workers a living wage. What is right is protecting women, students, and employees against abuse and sexual violence. What is right is celebrating and thanking whistleblowers, not harassing or firing them. They are the heroes who will make our university great. What is right is mobilizing the brain power of our expert educators to close the achievement gap in our schools. What is right is giving the children of our lowest paid workers access to the resources of our great university for tutoring or to attend the summer programs and enrichment opportunities that bring wealthy children from across the U.S. to our campus. What is right is giving poor children in our community the help they need so that they can attend UNC, not because they pull themselves up by their non-existent bootstraps, but because the university refused to stand by while children of color are channeled into a permanent underclass. What is right, Dr. Folt, is to find a way to provide adequate health care and transportation for the workers in this community that will make it possible for you to do great things. Chancellor Folt, welcome to Chapel Hill. We expect great things from you. This is Maria Palmer.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Commentators is presented by Sunrise Dental, accepting new patients for cosmetic, restorative, and general dentistry procedures. Choose Sunrise Dental online at visitsunrise.com.
What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT.
What you're saying on the street.
I'm Tim Carnes. Now that spring is finally upon us, the warm, sunny weather can inspire us to get active outside. We hit the streets to find out what your favorite outdoor activity is in the Chapel Hill, Carrboro area.
Jonathan Davis in Chapel Hill. Picking up.
Pat, I'm in Chapel Hill. Probably walking.
Barry Wright, and I'm from Chapel Hill. I love to garden here in North Carolina.
Dave Haddon, Hillsboro. Rock climb.
What are your favorite spring activities?
My name is Christine Cabot. Oh, I love to work outdoors and get my garden started, landscape work.
Jeremy Hall, Durham, North Carolina. Welcome a dog.
My name is Jacob. I live in Carrboro. Just go for a walk.
I live in Durham. My name is Michael. I enjoy going to like parks and just like having picnics and, you know, just walking around.
My name is Mike. I'm moving to this area from Houston. I like to go hiking. I like to ride my bike a lot. Those are probably the two favorite. Just be outside, take naps. That's my favorite thing to do. Go be outside hiking and ride my bike, and then afterwards take a nap outside, preferably in a hammock.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT, managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Have you given up on organized religion? What if you found a church that was fun, energetic, encouraging, diverse, and actually made a difference in the world? This is Kenner Finar, pastor of Grace Church of Chapel Hill, and I want to invite you to try a new kind of church. We believe in truth, but practice grace. We're into Jesus and social justice. We are young and old, married and single. We are white, black, Hispanic, and Asian. We are Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And we have a blast doing life together. Check us out. It may be the best hour of your week. Grace Church, online at gracelife.com.
Have you been looking for acupuncture, massage, nutrition advice, yoga therapy, guided imagery, hypnosis, and expert physicians who understand how you can use these services to benefit your health and your life? Come to Duke Integrative Primary Care. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill. Open to all and now accepting insurance.
7:52 WCHL, 8 minutes until 8 o'clock. Time now for your traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Southern Season. Experience all things delicious in one amazing destination. Shop their world-class wine selection, assortment of artisan candies, exquisite housewares, and gift baskets for every occasion. University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. Now with your morning traffic, Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic moving smoothly for the most part on the roadways. NC 54 heading westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing a little bit of a slowdown. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. And, of course, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather presented by the Carolina Inn. Join them at the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features. A special feature every day of the week, and there's sure to be a night out that's perfect for you. Menu specials and hours at CarolinaInn.com. 59 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny today. Slight chance of rain this morning. 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today, about 80 degrees, and a big chance of rain coming for your weekend. It is time now to check in with Wayne Pond on WCHL and get our word of the day. I am so excited to find out what Wayne has on his mind today. Wayne, what you got?
Muy buenos dias, amigo.
Yes. Hola.
That's a beginning. We'll take it.
Really?
Take what we can get. All right, pal. Well, I got a dandy for you this morning. The word of the day, actually, Wordsmith gives us a choice here on the pronunciation. Let me try version number one, Cornish. And the second version is Corniche. It is spelled C as in cat, C-O-R-N-I-C-H-E. C-O-R-N-I-C-H-E. Let's see if we can get a winner this morning on that one. Cornish or Corniche. You got any idea what's going on here, Big Ron?
Well, it's not a kind of hen based on the way you spelled it.
Nor is it something that comes from Hormel, right?
I don't think so.
All right, this is, the wordsmith tells us, from the French, meaning a coastal road. Got that?
Yeah.
Coastal road, especially one that is cut into the side of a cliff. Cornish or Corniche, you know, you see those ridiculous car commercials with two maniacs driving 500 miles an hour down a cliff, proving that God knows what.
Yeah.
or a James Bond movie. I suspect they use the Corniche or the Cornish effect, the special effects there. So
yeah, I would think
is
so.
Is this acceptable to His Majesty?
That sounds good to me, buddy.
All
sounds
right.
Very good.
All right. Well, yeah, I think you're just giving me the bum's rush here, so I'll talk to you in the morning. Bye-bye.
All right. Good deal. Wayne Pond with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, and define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 97.9 FM, WCHL. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ron Stutz.
And I'm Brian Chagos.
Yes, you are.
What's up, man?
I figured that out.
You figured that out?
It hasn't taken me too long.
Been doing this long enough?
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You doing all right?
Yeah. Haven't had breakfast, but I
You're
take it you
not
have.
Gonna have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't bring anything for you.
Thanks.
No problem.
Don't even tell me what it was. I've had my usual two cups of coffee this morning.
That's yeah. It. I'm telling you, folks, I had my amp that you can get over at Cruisers. $2 for $3. Fantastic deal.
You still do that?
I still do that. Probably not good for my heart.
But doesn't that jack you up?
It does. It does.
Well,
that's the only way I can make it in here.
A lot of caffeine in it or what?
No, there's a ton of caffeine in it. Again, it's probably not good for my heart, but, you know.
You're young.
We'll figure that out,
I guess.
We'll figure that on the back side.
Yeah.
We'll
All right. Well,
later on down the road.
You got a good joke?
I do. And this is from a good friend of the morning show.
Really?
And especially the clean joke of the day segment, Mr. Fred Black.
Oh,
Fred,
good.
Thanks for the joke, bud.
About time for Fred to come in here and do another commentary, too.
Fred, come on, man. What are you, busy?
Yeah.
Get on in here and do a commentary. Yeah, Fred's
a busy man.
He definitely is a busy man.
But he does have a good sense of humor.
He has a very good sense of humor.
What'd you got?
So here is the joke from Fred Black. So here we go.
All right.
A few old couples used to get together to talk about life and to have a good time. One day, one of the men, Harry, started talking about a fantastic restaurant he went to the other night with his wife. Really, one of the men said. What's it called? After thinking for a few seconds. Then Harry said, what are those good smelling flowers called again? Do you mean a rose? The first man questioned. Yes, that's it, he explained. Looking over at his wife, he said, Rose, what's that restaurant we went to the other night?
you gotta remember your wife's name before you can ask her a question, I guess.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Dr. Joanne Jordan is the Herman and Louise Smith Adjunct Professor in Epidemiology at UNC. She's dedicated her whole life to helping folks in rural areas live better lives. Dr. Jordan has been working very hard since she came to Carolina in 1987 in the Department of Rheumatology and Immunology. Her specialty is osteoarthritis. She's been involved in a special project for the folks in Johnston County. What she learns there, of course, can help the people of Orange County as well.
This is a project that's been ongoing since 1990, funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention since that time, as well as from the National Institutes of Health since 1993. We've had other funders as well, but this project was designed to examine really for the first time how common osteoarthritis is in rural areas, and we were also specifically interested in looking at racial and ethnic disparities between African Americans and whites. At the time that we started the project, we really had no accurate data on any of those types of things, whether there were any differences between African Americans and whites in the types of osteoarthritis, the joints that were involved, and the patterns. And we really had very little understanding of how common arthritis was and what risk factors might be in rural areas.
Dr. Joanne Jordan, today's WCHL hometown hero. She's getting ready for more.
We are getting ready as we speak, though, to go back out into the field. And it's been a great privilege for us to be able to follow people over these many years. Some of them we've seen 5 times. Over the years, and they participate and come back, and we're getting ready to launch back out in the field again and see people now 20 years out after their initial entry into the study.
Congratulations to Dr. Joanne Jordan from Performance Animo and WCHL.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Chapel Hill, economic development.